Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go. Aaron Rodgers had a game for the ages last night. He went down in the second quarter with a left knee injury and had to be carted off the field, but he came back in the third quarter with his Packers down by 20. Rodgers then put on an offensive display with three fourth quarter touchdown passes, including a 75-yard game winner to Randall Cobb with just over 2 minutes left. Let's take a listen to Rodgers after the game.
Playing behind Brett Favre for 3 years, you realize you gotta be tough to play this position. So you got to, in that situation, it's about coming back out and leading. And if you can do it and deal with the pain, you should be out there. I felt like once I got back out there and the adrenaline was going, that it loosened up a little bit. But then, you know, tightened up there in the fourth quarter. I was walking up and down the sideline to try and keep it loose. But no, we'll do tests tomorrow and give you a better answer on Wednesday when I talk. But as long as there's no major issues, and I'll keep playing.
Hall of Famer Rod Woodson is here. Thanks for joining us this Monday.
Thanks for having me.
Start with you, Rod. How impressive was Aaron Rodgers?
Well, I mean, I was already impressed going back to 2016 season. Okay. Remember the divisional round, I'm sorry, Skip, when the Green Bay Packers played the Dallas Cowboys, yeah, and Jared Cook was running a speedo to the right, from the right side to the left, and he was rotating to his left side and then threw it to the left sideline with his right arm. Only one quarterback in the league can throw that. I was impressed with that.
Okay.
But then you come back.
Rod, he was just standing on the sidelines. Nobody was within 5 yards.
Oh, it was several guys there. The sideline was there. The sideline's undefeated. Yeah. They were in the National Football League. The sideline's undefeated.
No, but they're playing prevent.
Stop.
Go ahead.
But then anyway.
I can't help myself.
I know, you know, he's a Star fan. I got it. But then you go, you think about what he did last night. You know, and he had every reason not to come back out.
Mm-hmm.
And one big reason was 52, Khalil Mack. Yeah. I mean, he was giving him heck and havoc in the first half. And then the one thing I love about great players, Shannon, great players can overcome bad obstacles. And they can play within, outside of their comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key. You're going to get hurt. You're going to get dinged up. This guy came in, dinged up, hurt, couldn't throw, couldn't plant on his front leg. So he was thrown off his back foot the whole night. And in the fourth quarter, he's throwing dimes.
Dimes!
Mm. Just dimes.
Like Kevin Love, point guard. Dropping dimes.
So, I mean, it's, you know, to me, he solidified what I already thought and already knew, that this is the best quarterback in the National Football League.
Really? Better than Tom Brady, says Rod.
Did he just say it?
Yes, sir.
Hall of Famer, gold jacket.
Oh,
Hall of Famer, gold jacket.
I'll take Brady every Sunday, and I'll beat you every Sunday with Tom Brady, but go ahead.
So you got two Hall of Famers and a blue jacket.
Man. Oh, you
so
said the same thing?
Yeah.
There we go. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about.
Blue jacket.
Yeah, you got on blue.
Oh, you mean I'm a blue jacket? I thought you had some weird blue jacket.
No, you got a blue jacket.
I'm in my own Hall of Fame.
Oh, okay.
I mean, he had to be perfect. And he had to be perfect when he wasn't at his absolute best. Because now they took him and they made him say, no, you will not have mobility. Mm. You will not be able to create plays outside of the pocket. You must stand in this phone booth and throw the ball from here. Mm. And he did that. There are very few guys that if you take away one of the things that makes them great and you take that away from him and say, beat me, which is like a pitcher. Mm. If he's a fast maker, Aroldis Chapman beat you with something other than that 104-mile-an-hour fastball.
Mm.
That's what they did. They took that away. They took his legs. Because what separates him, Skip, is his ability to throw the ball accurately off either foot outside of the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
He can do that better than anybody. He can make throws that only he can make. Mm. But every other quarterback in the league, he can make their throws. But they can't make his throws. Mm. Skip, he had to be great. There was no reason for the Packers to win this game other than Aaron Rodgers' excellence.
Mm.
And you keep talking about, well, run after the catch. Well, that's how most quarterbacks make their living. They're not throwing bombs. They're Tom Brady. He's dumping it to the back. He's dumping it to Gronk or Edelman or whomever, and they're getting yards after the catch.
I don't know. Ryan Fitzpatrick made his living throwing bombs.
Oh, yeah, but you did. But
one day.
That normally happens like that.
It's just like, how far can I throw this and who's going to run under it, right?
Ryan Fitzpatrick and Aaron Rodgers' name don't even go together.
Yeah, but Skip, Rod, you know this. I played with John Elway, and I knew if we were close to you in the fourth quarter, no matter how bad we played up until that point, Skip, just get him to the fourth quarter with a chance. That's all we needed. We down 10. Oh, we got you. You should have put us away in the first half.
Mm.
You didn't. Oh, Sam's going to bring us back. And that's what they got with that guy number 12, Green Bay.
So, I say enough of this over-the-top myth-making about this legendary performance from one Aaron Rodgers, because I wasn't all that impressed because of the competition and what happened to the competition in the second half. In the first half, Mitchell Trubisky played the half of his life. I couldn't even recognize him because I've never seen him play like that at Carolina or last year with the Bears. Mm-hmm. I don't love him. I don't think they're going to love him long term, but he had a night to remember in the first half. Then Shannon Sharp, what happened in the second half?
He didn't play particularly
well.
They
got to him. He threw for a grand total of 62 yards and put a grand total of 6 points.
I think they got conservative, Skip.
Okay, all right. That happens on the road at Lambeau, arch rival. And I'm sure they were shell-shocked by the return of one Aaron Rodgers. But Khalil Mack had a half for the ages in the first half. He terrorized Brian Bulaga. He was all over. First Aaron Rodgers, then DeShone Kizer. And what happened in the second half? Nothing happened. He disappeared because he ran out of gas.
But he ran out of gas because the Green Bay Packers had a game plan, and their game plan was to change it. They went to the speed package on the offensive side, and that takes away the pass rush.
They were speeding up the tempo. Mm-hmm. But Brian Bulaga mostly took him single coverage, and he kicked his behind in the second half. And that was what was most impressive to me, because he got embarrassed in the first half by a guy that we all consider the best pass rusher in football.
Levon,
you know him pretty well.
But here's the thing. I tell you what. Wait till they go to Chicago, mm-hmm. and Khalil has his football legs.
I know. He
That's
doesn't.
That's the key.
Okay.
He doesn't have his football legs, and he's going to get – he was blown after the pick six. He was done.
Yeah.
But then when they went to the speed package, and you're trying to keep those legs and that energy that you had in the first quarter, you're just not going to have it.
I thought he was going to be limited.
Games,
he played 70% of the snaps. He played 42 snaps. That's a lot of
much
football.
Money. They wanted him to be limited.
Okay,
but when you get a strip sack
it.
And a pick six, get back out there and see if you can get another one.
So guess what? In the second half, the Chicago Bears had zero sacks and zero quarterback pressures. Zero and zero. That means Aaron Rodgers got to stand back there and say, Devontae or Randall or Geronimo. I'll try Geronimo. He had nothing but time. You know it, and I know it, because I don't know where the Bears went. They quit tackling. They quit pressuring at all. And I got to go to the last – but I'm just going to mention it one more time. But on the play before the last play, Aaron made one bad decision, although his receiver got tangled and fell down. But he threw it right to Kyle Fuller, who's the best defensive back on the field for either team. Mm-hmm. And he hit him in the stomach with the football. Mm-hmm. You just have to catch it. He's had a little trouble catching the football in his career so far for 4 years he's played. He was the 14th overall pick. If you're the 14th overall, you're a pretty high pick, right? Don't you
but that's
catch
why he
that?
Played DB.
Okay.
Yeah, if he can catch, he'd be a wide receiver.
Yeah, we can catch, he'd be a wide receiver. Okay.
All right.
Most DBs can't catch.
Okay, but you can catch.
I play both ways.
Okay.
Throughout.
Okay.
Through high school, right. Through college, I play both ways.
Okay.
I knew I could catch.
All right, but you have to catch it. And if you catch it, we're not having this conversation right now because the game is over.
But it happens sometimes. You remember in the Super Bowl, Skip, the one that Joe Montana done won? He hit Louis Billups in the chest. And he dropped it, and the next play, guess what? John Taylor, 200 jet X slant for the game-winning touchdown.
Well, and the luckiest play in the history of the Super Bowl game, the Eli, remember, he threw it.
Oh, Asante Samuel had it on the sideline.
He had it right in his hands.
But that's it always happens. If you ever watch football, you see that a defensive player can make a play, and as soon as he doesn't make a play, it comes back to haunt the defense.
Right. Okay.
In a big way. And
okay, so Rod
again last night.
Explain this to me. The play of the game, it's 3rd and 10 from the 25. This is do or die. Obviously, you get one more snap, one more shot. But on this play, I don't know what the Bears call, because it looked like cover six to me, and it looked like they had Eddie Jackson, the safety, come up and take Randall Cobb in the slot. And guess what? Guess where Khalil Mack went? Guess where he went on the play? He's zone blitzed. He's backing off the line of scrimmage, as did the other defense.
I had the exact same question, like, what was that defense?
I've never seen a defense
like that. It looked like he was a middle-high safety. Looked like it was cover three, middle-high safety, and he comes – And some teams do, they will have this rule where if he runs a speedo or a crossing, the deep safety takes it and the corner falls off. I'm not really sure, but I just think that's fundamentally flawed, and a lot of bad things can happen, as is last night.
Yeah, and I give Aaron credit because he waited, and he sort of drifted a little bit to his left, and then Randall Cobb, because they got great chemistry and rapport because they've been together for a while. He stops and uncovers a little bit back, and Eddie Jackson overruns it and then loses his feet. He tried to get his hands on the ball. It's just bad idea on top of bad idea on top, bad idea, and nobody's home. Nobody's left. Yep. And he's off to the races, and guess who had the best chance of catching him? Khalil Mack, because he's zone blitz. He's dropped back into coverage.
If I know a quarterback is wounded, I'm going to heat him up. I'm going to make him move. I know he's not going anywhere. You play cover five, you play something where you can get some pressure on him. But you can't let him sit back there and just pat the ball, because guys are going to play backyard football. They'll uncover on you. And I don't care who you have in your secondary. You let guys start running around, he runs over here, stop, slide back. That's what you're going to get.
Okay.
But if you think about Vic Fangio, the defense coordinator, who is a really good defense coordinator in the National Football League, it's just not his wheelhouse. He's not a blitzing type guy. He's a cover four. He's a quarters guy. He stays in that wheelhouse. But when you're right, man, when you have a wounded dog on the backside of that, you go after him.
Okay.
You go
and get that guy. What does the great Shannon Sharpe always tell me about injuries? If you can step onto that football field, no excuses, right?
Mm-mm.
So I don't want to hear he's playing on one leg, because he said the doctors completely cleared him.
Yeah.
There was no chance, according to his doctor, that he could hurt it anymore. So it was either completely torn and he's got a ruptured ACL and played with it, or he's pretty good to go. Like they consider it maybe like a mild sprain, like a low-grade sprain.
But here's the thing, Skip, but when you're out there, all they see is Aaron Rodgers. People forgot that he got his knee hurt and he got carted off. They don't care anything about that. They see the quarterback for the Green Bay Packers.
Who most people watching on TV, that's all they thought about.
But the fans don't care. All they see is Rodgers, and you're supposed to deliver us. Plus, you just got 134.
All I heard was he played on one leg.
He did.
That's all I hear about.
But guess what, Skip? They say for $134 million, you're getting $80 million between now and St. Patrick's Day. You better bring us home for $80 million.
All I'm thinking about is if he still is playing on one leg against the Vikings next weekend, and that would be fine with me.
I guarantee you they heat him up. What you want to bet they'll heat him up?
Zim will do that. Will definitely heat him up.
All right, well, the Vikings are my team, and Skip's team are the Cowboys, and are we already panicking?
Nope, we're not.
Should.
No.
We're not. No mercy.
So Tom Brady is 41 years old and in his 19th season, but it doesn't look like he's slowing down at all. The Patriots beat the Texans yesterday 27-20 thanks to three Brady touchdown passes to three different receivers. New England has an AFC Championship game rematch in Jacksonville next week. Shannon, how impressive was Brady yesterday?
I mean, he was good, but he wasn't the most – I mean, he wasn't more impressive than Aaron Rodgers or Ryan Fitzpatrick, who threw for four bills and four touchdowns. He wasn't as impressive as Mahomes, who threw for four touchdowns on the road. Skip, you would agree with that. I was more impressed with their defense and how they were able to make Deshaun Watson look very, very average yesterday, Skip. Now, if that defense is going to play like that all year, they'll win the Super Bowl. There's no question in my mind. They were.
So you're thinking they won't?
It's hard for me to believe that they're going to be able to keep this kind of consistency up. Mm. They were getting pressure, a lot of it, with just three. But a lot of times, Deshaun was running out of the pocket. See, when there's a three-man rush, Skip, sometimes Deshaun gets happy feet. He slides to the left. He slides to the right.
Yep.
But when you roll one way or the other, you cut down half the field. That's why most of the really good quarterbacks, they like to stay in the pocket. So the whole field is at their disposal. Mm. You run one side or the other, half the field is only at your disposal. Mm. This is another reason, Skip, I do not like young guys sitting out, especially quarterbacks during the preseason, because Deshaun Watson, he had some guys open, and he looked very, very average. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, on some throws, Skip, he looked terrible. Mm. And that's very disappointing considering how well he played. Now, he's a turnover guy, Skip. He turned it over a lot in college. And normally guys...
He did that the last year.
He had a few with junior, if you look back at it, Skip. He makes some ill-advised throws. But Tom Brady's Tom Brady. He still has that monster. Like I said, I've said it before and I'll say it again. Rob Gronkowski is the most dominant non-quarterback in all of football. There is no answer. We've never seen anything like him. 6'6", 270, that can run a huge catch radius. Mm. Tremendous run after the catch. He can inline block. You can put him in
the spot. Jalen Ramsey said. I don't know. That's what Jalen's maybe the best corner in football.
Jalen had his hands full yesterday.
Yeah.
He had his hands
maybe
full.
Maybe he's better against bigger, right?
Yeah, he is. He has problems with Antonio. Yeah. Antonio Brown will give him problems. Odell would give him problems. Mm-hmm. And they gave him problems. But, yeah, Brady was Brady, Skip. I'm not trying to diminish him. He threw three touchdowns on opening day. I expect this from Tom Brady. What I didn't expect was to see the defense play as well as they did. Because when you look at it, you're like, they didn't add Aaron Donald. They didn't get Khalil Mack. Mm-mm. They don't have an elite, I guess Gilmore. Gilmore is
good. But they got Dante Hightower back.
But he's not Kuechly.
No.
He's not Bobby Wagner.
He's not Sean Lee. We know that.
See, I'm done. I don't even want to talk anymore.
Really? I think that's all you got.
You ruined every conversation with this Sean Lee. Stop it.
Just have to bring a little truth to the conversation.
You know Sean Lee is not on those two guys' level, especially Kuechly.
So, a year ago on opening Thursday night, what happened to Tom Brady in that defense? He was awful, and it got torched by Alex Smith and the Kansas City Chiefs.
He was awful in the second half. He played good the first half, Skip, because they were up. But remember, they were up.
I just remember him being awful because by his standards, that was awful. And it was a wipeout. So they were not going to let that happen again yesterday.
Okay.
And I'm with you. The defense is definitely better than it was a year ago. Mm-hmm. But so is that quarterback. This guy is unbelievable because he just keeps getting better. He's obviously more experienced. He's more knowledgeable. And he plays with even more supreme confidence than he used to 2 or 3 years ago. He's just serene in the pocket because he knows it before you know it. He knows what the defense is going to do before it does it. And by the way, he took a couple of big shots yesterday, one from J.J. Watt, and he jumps right back up. And did you see the T-shirt he was wearing the other day? I think it was Friday's interview.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Pliability, right?
Yeah.
So I guess it works. I don't know.
Whatever.
I got to knock on wood here just to make sure. But I just got to throw out one stat that I heard that just knocked me over because I couldn't even compute it because I didn't believe it. But do you realize that since 2007, the Patriots at home against AFC teams are 57-2? That's Tom Brady at home. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady at home, 57-2 against AFC teams?
In the regular season,
over 12 regular seasons. Well, that's impossibly great.
That's ridiculous.
It's just ridiculous. That's at home. So, again, obviously they're playing an AFC team yesterday to get to 57-2. And the other one that just knocked me over the head, the stat on the telecast, Tom Brady has now scored in 68 straight second quarters. It's like a minutia stat, but when you think about it, it's just hard to keep scoring in the second quarter, right? And he's done it 68 straight games.
And what they try to do, Skip, what the Patriots try to do, and they're very good at it, that they usually defer to toss. So they try to get that score right in the second, right before halftime, and then they get the ball out and get another score. Mm-hmm. So if they were up 7, they're up 10-14.
And by the way, Bill O'Brien won and deferred to Brady yesterday. Right. Got away with it on the first
because he knew what Coach Belichick likes to do.
Yep.
Skip, Tom Brady is Tom Brady. They're like Brady and Rodgers. Okay, I believe those are the two best. Mm-hmm. They can take yours and beat you.
Yeah.
And they're definitely going to take theirs and beat you. There are very few guys that can do that. So I'm not, when Brady does what he does to Rodgers, now Rodgers' circumstances last night. But if Rodgers had been healthy and did that, I was like, oh, yeah, okay, I expect him to do that. It's like Tom Brady. If Tom Brady, gets injured on his, leg or something like that, and he does it outside of his comfort zone, he would have to get outside of his comfort zone. But Tom is
Tom. How
about
12 stitches in your throwing hand? I don't know. That's kind of outside your comfort zone
for a
quarterback.
No,
I don't know.
No, leg.
Where Aaron Rodgers would be walking around the whole game saying,
why you do that?
That's
why
not fair.
Why you
like
do
that?
Yeah.
Why you do that, Skip?
Remember when he had his calf? He's limping to the huddle.
And he beat
your
Cowboys.
He reminds me of Emmitt Smith, who I covered for years with the Cowboys. Great player, obviously. Most yards ever run by a running back, right?
Most rushing touchdowns, yep.
You know what I nicknamed him?
What?
Emmy Smith, because he won an Emmy going back to the huddle just about every time. He was really hurt.
All those carries, Skip.
Yeah.
How you think you become the all-time leader?
He was the classic one. He would just drag himself back to the huddle, and then all of a sudden, here he goes again. 8 more yards, 10 more yards, 12 more yards.
But would you concur that you were more impressed with the defense than you were with Tom Brady yesterday?
No, I thought Brady was outstanding. He had a QBR of 84, and he did miss a couple throws, but he made some big-time throws.
But hold on. This is the defense that gave up 41 in the Super Bowl.
Well, it's better than that.
Okay, then. Yeah. Well, Tom Brady wasn't as good as he was in the Super Bowl with 3 touchdowns and 505?
Pretty good.
Skip, he threw for less than 300.
Mm-hmm.
Come on now.
But he was pretty good.
So was he Super Bowl good?
I'm just dealing with the fall off the cliff theory that I keep hearing from across the table, that you never know past age 40,
you
fall off the cliff. You just
don't.
Fall off the cliff, and it's going to happen overnight. He's going to fall off the cliff.
You live day to day.
You know what? On Saturday night, Tom Brady did not fall off the cliff. That's all I can take away from yesterday. he looked just as good as he did.
Let me ask you a question.
Great as he did.
Did he look as good as Ryan Fitzpatrick? Did he look as good as Patrick Mahomes?
In his own way.
Stop.
He just controlled the game from start to finish.
He looked
QBR
good.
Of 84 to Deshaun's 18.
What I'm trying to Ooh. Figure out is how does Aaron Rodgers have a 130 QB rating? Mm-hmm. Tom Brady has a 102, mm-hmm. but Tom Brady's QBR is higher than his. Mm. He had more incompletions.
Because QBR is a much more complete stat than the passer rating.
But I'm trying to figure out, let's see, he had a better completion percentage. He
threw
more
yards. Down in distance, yeah.
And he had a longer touchdown. I'm just trying to, something's not adding up for me, Skip.
Aaron Rodgers played a quarter and another part of a quarter, and he was pretty awful.
But Skip,
right? That counted. That's what dragged it down.
But here's the thing. If I get one F and I get 10 A's, I shouldn't get a D.
Usually I think QBR is harder on Brady than anybody.
You need to stop.
I'm serious. 84. You picked the, not San Diego, but L.A. Chargers to dethrone the New England Patriots. So they got off to a rough start because they gave up 38, but that's a high-powered offense. It is spectacular.
Yeah,
when it hits on all cylinders with that kid flinging it, they can score. So I'm going to give you one week. It's early in the season.
No, I'm not jumping off. No.
Okay. But do you still believe they could go to Foxborough and win the AFC Championship game? Maybe they'll come around by the end of the year.
Well, somebody might
Somebody
might knock them off and they don't have to go to Foxborough. Yeah.
Well, where? How?
They're
going to have home field.
First of all,
they're just going to have home field.
Have they ever been beaten in Foxborough in the playoffs?
By Baltimore.
Okay.
But that's a special group of men.
You see Baltimore, how did they look yesterday?
Yeah. Do you think they're going to go beat them?
They might skip. It's 1 week, and we're already talking about AFC Championship.
That was Joe Flacco against Nathan Peterman.
And you know Joe Flacco stands tall against Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
Plays him tough
he
every
does.
Time.
No, he does. I give you that. But I don't know if they still – is Ray Lewis, is he going to come back for that game? Maybe.
No.
I don't know.
He's not coming back.
I don't
but
know.
Brady was Brady. Mm-hmm. I expect this of Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. I did not expect to see that defense.
Mm.
You didn't expect to see that defense.
No, I've been seeing it in the preseason. It's pretty good.
After you said Coach Belichick sabotaged.
Well, he did.
He sabotaged in the Super Bowl.
Mm, he got now sabotaged.
Now he did what he did to Deshaun Watson in that offense with all those playmakers.
Mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden you're like, nah, he was okay.
Mm. No, I told you they're better. It's the first thing I said. They're definitely going to be better because they got their middle linebacker back. That helps, right?
Okay, what about them pass rushers? Huh? I didn't see no Aaron Donald.
Adrian Claiborne, boy, he terrorized Dak Prescott last year.
Against Chaz Green.
Yeah, okay. Well, he's there.
Skip, he had six sacks in one game, and he finished the season with 8.
Yep.
So what about the other 15, Skip? He got 2 sacks in 15 games.
New England's defense will be just above average, but it'll be good enough to win the Super Bowl.
They'll be very good in scoring defense.
Yeah. Okay.
That's what matters.
Yeah.
Yards don't win your game. Points win games. No
mercy. Well, the Cowboys' offense looked pretty bad yesterday in a 16-8 loss to the Panthers. So,
well,
Rod Woodson
amended it to pretty bad. You started saying it looked awful. So, thank you for that.
Pretty
Appreciate
bad.
That.
I got to
yeah.
keep you somewhat
okay,
happy.
Yeah, I
don't know. It's hard
thank
sometimes.
Thank you, Jenny.
Pretty
no,
bad.
It
but
awful.
Rod Woodson's still here. So, I will start with you, Rod. Was yesterday more about the Panthers being good or the Cowboys being pretty bad?
I think it's about the Cowboys' offense being pretty bad.
Okay.
Just for the fact, think about this. Thompson, Williams, Swam, Beasley. That's their starting receiving core.
Mm-hmm.
All right? One of the best tight ends to ever play in the National Football League. He retired. So when you're a defense coordinator, you're looking at it going, okay, I got all these guys. I'm trying to figure out who they are. And then there's a guy in the backfield, Ezekiel Elliott. He's like the mainstay.
Mm-hmm.
So what am I going to do? I'm going to go 8 in the box, 9 in the box, man-to-man, and the receiver's got to get open. And then Prescott has to deliver. These guys got to get open, but then Prescott has to deliver on a consistent basis. Who's going to do that more? Can we stop Zeke? If we stop Zeke, then it's all the pressure goes to Prescott. And we believe that we can be a better football team and be better than your offense if we do that on a consistent basis.
Simple as this. When ask any defensive coordinator, when they face the Cowboys, who and what are you trying to stop? We're trying to stop Zeke Elliott and that run game. No defensive coordinator goes into the game and says, we're trying to stop Dak Prescott. When you face Tom Brady, you face Aaron Rodgers, you face Cam Newton, when you face these other top quarterbacks, they say, we got to get the head of the snake. That's the quarterback.
Mm.
When you face the Dallas Cowboys, the head of the snake is one Ezekiel Elliott.
Mm.
And if you stop him, you beat the Cowboys.
Mm.
You make Dak Prescott beat you. And guess what?
Who's the offensive rookie of the year? when those two were rookies? I'm just trying to remember.
Dak Prescott.
Oh, thank you. Go ahead.
And what did Zeke do? What did Zeke
do? I don't remember.
Led the league in rushing. Yeah. 1,606 yards. 15 rushing touchdowns. Averaging 5 yards a carry on first down.
Interesting.
If you don't mind me asking, since Zeke has not been that guy since then, how does Dak look?
Well, is Zeke that guy? Maybe that's the question.
Oh, so now you giving up on Zeke. Oh, now it's on Zeke. I noticed you don't ever want to put any of you know what, Skip Bayless.
You know, I must say, after all I heard, and I didn't go to camp practice, but all I heard was he looked sleek and explosive in camp, right? He just taken over camp practice.
He don't look sleek
He didn't look sleek and explosive to me yesterday. I'm sorry. And again, he played zero preseason snaps, and maybe you got to knock some rust off, but the body didn't look as good as it looked when he came back from Cabo after his six-game suspension. He didn't look like that guy. Yes. That was not explosive Zeke yesterday. But I'm going to say this one more time, and I'm going to stand by it. I still believe this is a wild card team because you're overreacting to what happened at Carolina. When I watched Tom Brady at Carolina in the third preseason game, the dress rehearsal, and Tom Brady played start to finish in the first half. Cam played the whole first half. And what happened? Tom Brady could do next to nothing. He managed 3 points and barely 100 yards passing against this defense. This defense is stout, it is physical, and it plays fast, especially at home when it gets the crowd going behind it. And it's going to make a lot of offenses look pretty bad this year. Just watch. It'll make Drew Brees work for his points and yards. And it'll make Matt Ryan work. And when Eli goes there on October 7th, he's going to get terrorized because they can flat out bring it from everywhere. Now they've added Julius Peppers back in there. And speaking of older players who look young, he's just flying. He still looks like Julius Peppers to me. So again, I'm not going to overreact to what they did to the Cowboy offense yet. Cam to the Cowboy defense, which by the way is still pretty good. It's good enough to be a wild card team. Cam did to my defense what I thought Dak might do to their defense, which is some zone read, some rollout, some more things where you get to have the ball in your hands and carry the ball. And instead, right away in what shaped up as a low-scoring, physical, defensive football game, what did they do? They go away from Zeke right away. You got to feed the beast. You got to get him some reps. And I don't care if he gets none yard gains. You got to keep pounding and pounding and get him, because in the second half, he started to look a little more like Zeke. Mm-hmm. But what did they start doing? They started running read option. They got Dak involved in that. They started getting a little creative with some inside sweep handoffs, you know, off, out of the shotgun that started to bother that Carolina front a little bit. But speaking of the Cowboy offensive line, they're starting this raw rookie second-round pick at left guard. He's opposite Kaywon Short. He got annihilated yesterday. He got manhandled from start to finish. Kaywon would blow up the run game, and then he would shove the pocket right back in Dak's face and make him move and go somewhere. And after a while, to your point, if you're going to just play pure drop back and try to let one of those receivers beat somebody, you're going to have a long day, because I thought it was going to be Dink and Dak. You make fun of him, but I thought it was going to be bing, 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 handoff, lots of handoffs, lots of read option, get Dak involved in the run game the way Cam's involved in the run. Dak's 250 pounds. He's a big, strong man who can take the beating. So I didn't see any of that. I saw him dropping back and hold the football. If you drop back and hold it for two or three counts against that front, you're going to have six sacks. You're going to get punished. It's going to look ugly, and it looked ugly all day because their starting field position was just horrible in their first seven possessions. They'd started from the 18-yard line on average. They're backed up against a hellacious defense, and they went away from Zeke early. And I have no idea why. I don't get it.
But Skip, but when you look at it, when you need to make a play, where is he going with the football? They're devoid of playmakers on the edges. Every team has a guy that if it's third and eight and I need a throw and I need somebody to make a catch for me, everybody has that guy. Who is that guy on Dallas?
He's gone.
Well, he was gone 2 years ago, effectively.
Ooh, Jason. Huh?
No. No, you're talking about Dez Bryant.
Yeah, well, Dez and Jason.
Okay. All right.
Both those guys.
Okay. Well, you can't blame Dez. Dez gone. Dez said, stop blaming me. He told me to tell you to stop blaming him because he wasn't there.
All right. So, in the big picture, it's still a football game. And it's 10 to nothing late in the third quarter. Mm-hmm. And they finally get some field position at the 45, and they move it into field goal range, so they have a 47-yard field goal. Did Dan Bailey trot onto the field and just kick it right down the middle? Nope. He didn't, because he got cut. I still don't have any idea how you could cut a guy who, until late last year, was the most accurate kicker in the history of pro football, Really? And you cut him to save a couple of million dollars?
Are you questioning Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones, and Will McClay?
I am. Not Will McClay, because that wasn't his move. Brett Maher? Who the hell is Brett Maher? Whoa. No, seriously.
That's a new trend in the National Football League. They're keeping rookie kickers.
Yeah.
It's for the cap reason. He's a 28-year-old refugee from Canadian football who bounced around the NFL, never kicked a single kick in the National Football League, and he trots onto the field and predictably went wide right. And it just rips the guts out of your football team. On the sideline, I'm sure they're thinking, damn, it could have been 10-3. Well, you're in the game.
Did you see the Cowboys playing? They were gutless up until that point anyway, so they didn't have any gut. You watched them play, Skip Bayless.
You know, I watched the defense play, and I think you just called my defense gutless, and it didn't look like gutless to me.
Give them credit because it could have been a lot worse because they did force a fumble inside the five-yard line on C-Mac, Christian McCaffrey. So give them credit. I thought the defense played well. Now, you know, Sean Lee, he put him to clinic on how to miss tackles yesterday.
Oh, did he?
You see it, Rod? He looking at the backfield. You got Cam. Stop worrying about the running back.
Did you see the plays he made in the pass game? Did you see him getting his hands on balls?
Oh, he got one tip, but I saw a wide receiver, 180 pounds, run over him. Mm-hmm. I saw Christian McCaffrey.
He'd already been blocked sideways. Are you kidding me?
No, he had no skip. Oh, Don't do that.
And then how about my Coach Clapper? It's fourth and 10 with two minutes and 18 seconds left. Jason Garrett, arch conservative Jason Garrett, fourth and 10 from the Panthers' 48-yard line. You got 2:18 left in your defense the whole second half. Cam is going nowhere fast. He's having a hard time.
I agree.
So you punt it. You try to pin him. You got one of the better coffin corner sort of kickers in the league. And just punt him back to the 5 or the 10 or the 15 somewhere and let your defense hold on and make them punt it back to you. And maybe you'll get the ball first and 10 at the 50. Right. I don't know, right?
That's how you
play football. That's smart football.
Even if you get it at your 40, Skip, okay? you got new set of downs.
So for once, Jason Garrett gambles, but it's a dumb gamble. I can't even justify it. Way to go. No, not way to go, because you've done nothing throwing the football, especially on fourth and long or third and long. What are you, 2 for 11 on third down at that point? And you just drop him straight back, and guess what happened? Kaywon Short is right in his face as he starts to release to Deontay Thompson, who looked to be open on the sideline for a split second, and got a hand up, and the ball sails, and the game's basically over at that point. Way to go, Jason.
Hold on, time out. Your quarterback. You told me you got a top 10 quarterback. Mm-hmm. A top 10 quarterback got to deliver us from evil.
Yeah, but what quarterback with no protection can be any good at all? What did you tell me happened to Tom Brady at Denver in the AFC Championship game, right?
But Tom Brady had that running game. Give Tom Brady a running game and he'll run you out. He's going to beat the brakes off.
Okay, but Dallas didn't have a running game yesterday either.
No, they had one. They chose not to use it. There's a difference.
Okay.
Great quarterbacks can make a difference. They're going to make the receivers look better. Now, they're on the road. So they go on the road, they go to Carolina. It's tough to win on the road. So when you go on the road, you want to split. You want to win your home game. So they still got time. But at the end of the day, it's going to come down to Prescott. It really is. I mean, the defense is going to play good football. They're going to play solid football. But it's going to come down, can he make plays with his legs and with his arms on a consistent basis so they can win over 10 games?
Yes, he can.
No.
And yes, he will next Sunday night on national TV. From Jerry World.
How they gonna get up against Jackrabbit? You saw what he did to Dez last year. Locked him up.
The problem with covering these guys is you don't know who to double because you can't really. Nobody needs to be doubled, right? You're like, well, what? Maybe Jackrabbit's looking around like, I don't even know what to do anymore, right? I don't have anybody to lock up, right?
What about your guy Michael Gallup? Well, he be galloping. Michael Gallup.
Well, you know who was inactive yesterday, and it was a big mistake. Rico Gathers, inactive, and I have no idea why.
I know why.
Why?
Because Jason Garrett says Rico Gathers is not one of our best fit 46. Oh. That's why he was inactive.
You don't think he could have caught a couple of big balls on third down?
No.
Huh?
First of all, does he play special teams? Because normally when you start getting down to that bottom, that last six, we need guys that can do multiple things, not just play offense or just defense. Yeah. Can you play the special
teams?
Maybe
you need a playmaker. That's what he is.
Playmaker retired.
Well,
they ain't got no play. Skip.
6'6". That's what he is. Huh?
Dude,
you watch.
I thought Mike Irvin was playmaker.
He is. And you make it, Skip. He has yet to catch a pass in the regular season.
They were made to look a lot worse than they are on offense. They will have a coming out party on Sunday night against the Giants. They will beat the Giants. I'm already on record. They will beat the New York football Giants and be off to the races at 1-1. Here they go.
A snack thing will let y'all run the ball.
I told you Friday. What did I tell you about this game at Carolina? Wrong place, wrong time.
No, right place, right time.
Mm-hmm. For you.
Ale.
Yeah.
Snacks Harrison is not going to let you guys run the ball. Dalvin Tomlinson is not going to let you.
Okay,
no,
we'll
no, not happening. And Jack Rabbit got everybody locked up.
Yeah. What's he going to take, two guys at once?
No, nah, you don't need to. Skip, them guys right there. Rod, get out there right now and get lock one of them down.
Okay. Keep talking. I'm going to let you talk all week. This is your week to talk, but you better get it all out because you're not going to get to do it anymore starting next Monday. Next Monday, that seat's going to get awfully hot and uncomfortable.
You remember how Dak's rookie year, you came and gloated like 10 straight weeks. You would just have your good old time. And you just been high by my cowboy.
Somebody just kept losing due week after week after week until you had to bring a whole cart of due into me for my birthday.
You know what it is?
It was unbelievable.
Think about this. If you notice, I didn't bring any props.
Hmm.
I didn't bring no black and mild. I didn't bring no doubt.
You know why?
Because I expected them to do this.
You were afraid.
I expected them to do exactly what they did.
You're afraid to gloat too soon.
No.
Because you know you might have to eat that black and mild.
It'll be out next week.
Yeah.
Next Monday, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Here we go.
It's going to be a long week for all of us. I'm a little worried about this. Rod, thank you for being here.
Appreciate it.
Is it already time for the Browns to start Baker Mayfield? We'll discuss that with Michael Vick next. No mercy. So the Browns still haven't won a game since 2016, but they came really close yesterday. The Steelers blew a 14-point fourth quarter lead, and the Browns actually tied it with under a minute left on a Tyrod Taylor to Josh Gordon touchdown. The game then went to overtime, and the Browns had a chance to win, but had a field goal blocked. Overall, Tyrod struggled, going just 15 for 40 and getting sacked 7 times. We're joined by Fox NFL analyst Michael Vick. Michael, I'm glad you're with us today.
Thank you.
I want to start with you. How quickly do the Browns need to go to Baker Mayfield?
Well, it's going to be really soon if Tyrod have another day like this. and that's my boy. Me and Tyrod spend a lot of time together, train him coming out. But listen, I have to call it how I see it.
Right.
And, you know, you give him the benefit of the doubt. You give him one more game, go down to New Orleans next week. They play on the road. It won't be inclement weather like yesterday.
Yep.
You know, you won't be playing a team that's wearing their emotions on their sleeve. It was an emotional day yesterday for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But the performance has to get better. I think they had 3 opportunities to score in overtime yesterday. And regardless if, you know, it was raining or, you know, if it was snowing, you got to find a way to get it done in those conditions. You know, for that football team, for that franchise and what they've been through, what they need to get accomplished, something has to happen. So, you know, Baker Mayfield showed us a lot in preseason. He's an exceptional talent. But at the end of the day, you don't want to put him out there in a game like yesterday against a team like the Pittsburgh Steelers, and things not go as well, and he get ruined, you know. So I think he has the talent, but the good part about this is that he has a chance to just, you know, get himself together, still continue to learn, still learn from Tyrod, and ultimately he'll be the guy stepping in if, you know, Tyrod continue to have days, you know, going 15 for 40, you know, for 100 and some odd yards. Yeah. It's just not enough production.
Enough.
I don't care what the weather indicates.
I said I give him 1 or 2. And New Orleans is not going to help the situation because they ticked off because they lost their home opener.
Yeah.
You don't want to go 0-2 down in losing those 2 games at home.
True.
Yeah.
So you're going to get a team that's going to come out fast and they're going to be upset and they're going to try to hang 48 on you like Tampa hung 48 on them. Skip, the thing is that when you look at this, in the words of Sam Cooke, a change is going to come. And I said this
earlier. At some point, absolutely.
I believe it's sooner than later because their bye week is way, way on down there in November. Tyrod played like he played yesterday because that's a game you got to win. You get 6 turnovers, you only turn it over 1, so you're +5 in a turnover battle.
At home,
and you tie the game? That's unacceptable. You can't go 15 for 40. You got to find a way to make one play. And that's the difference between a lot of quarterbacks.
Whether it's in the pass game or run game.
You got to find that one play to be made, and you got to put your team in a position to win that game. And Tyrod didn't do that yesterday. I'm not going to put it all on him. I believe Todd Haley could have called a better ball game.
I do, too. I agree.
That's neither here nor there. At the end of the day, it gets placed at the feet of the quarterback. He gets all the credit when things go well. He must take the lion's share of the blame when things go bad.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, they tied the game. No. This is a loss because you got you're +5 in a turnover battle and you're at home. This is a loss. You're 1-31 in your last 2 years. You got to win this game, Tyrod. Yep. I believe he's a week to 2 weeks away, top Skip Bayless, because if he doesn't play good, I put it like this here. If he doesn't play good next week, when they come back home and play the Jets, Baker Mayfield, no, they played it. Yeah, they played the Jets.
Yeah.
It's over.
Week three.
Over. Yep, they played the Jets, yep. Thursday night, I don't know, Skip. That's a Thursday night game. You think he'd be ready on Thursday night? So they might have to. So it might be September 30th on the road against Oakland.
On the road?
Yeah, but you don't want to. That's a Thursday night. That's a fast turnaround from Sunday.
True.
To Michael Vick's first point, I say this and you scoff at me. You think I'm just saying this for effect, but I'm not. Tyrod Taylor is a good man. You know it, yeah. And I know it. Frank Beamer called him, I think he said he was the greatest leader I've ever been around, and I have no doubt about his leadership capabilities. Mm-hmm. That team respects him. Do they love him? Do they light up for him? I don't know if it goes that far, because he's not an electric kind of leader. He's just a cool customer. He is so poised. Yeah. He's such a pro's pro. He's going to do the right thing at the right time, but I think he's limited in his arm strength. He doesn't have this cannon. This guy had a cannon.
Right.
And by the way, what happened when you were a rookie? Did you get ruined when you were a rookie?
He didn't start.
No.
Chris Chandler started.
Yeah, Chris Chandler started, and I played in two games early. Huh. But the more I set, the better.
Okay, but
I got.
It didn't ruin you to
it
play in those two games. No. And you went up, was it your second year to Lambeau? And it was pretty miserable night, wasn't it? Wasn't it pretty
cold? Yeah, inclement weather.
It was inclement, yes. And you just figured out how to get it out of town with a W, didn't you? Okay. The Baker Mayfield I know would have won that game yesterday. And I'm not second-guessing. I first-guessed. I thought he should have started from the start. But you already had Tyrod because it was out of sequence. You'd already gotten Tyrod before you picked Baker first overall.
Correct.
I don't think Baker can be ruined by this. I could be wrong, but he's got a mental toughness to him because he's got such a big chip on his shoulder because he was a walk-on twice. Jenny knows him.
Yeah.
He's built of some tough stuff. Mm-hmm. I just don't think it would ruin him. Would he struggle? Would he have thrown two interceptions yesterday? He probably would have.
Yeah.
Would he have made two more plays than Tyrod? I believe he would have. Because, look, Tyrod is obviously much faster down the field, and Tyrod had a good game running the football. He had 8 carries for 77 yards and led them in rushing. But Baker's slipperier in the pocket.
Baker
like he's got escapability in the pocket. And Tyrod went down 7 times yesterday. That's too many. You can't go 5 of 18 on third down. That's 28%. You can't go 15 of 40 because that's 38%. So a lot of plays got left out on a field in which Ben and company gave it to you 6 times. Well, you just have to close the deal. Yeah. I just believe Baker's more of a spark plug. And he would have made a couple plays that would have closed the deal, and all of a sudden the Cleveland Browns would be off to the races. Now, that would be at Tyrod's expense, and I don't want to see a man lose his job. I just want to see the Cleveland Browns be the surprise team. Yeah.
This pro sports.
It's pro sports at all. And I will say this, I'm somewhat biased because, listen, me and Tyrod has a relationship, and I want to see him succeed.
Right.
But at the end of the day, the game is about production, and we always talked about that, so... Baker Mayfield showed us enough in preseason where he can be a spark for, you know, the Cleveland Browns.
Yep.
And it's what they need right now. And I don't know how much longer they can hold off. I don't know how much longer I want to see them hold, keep him out. Yep. You know, I think he deserves the opportunity to show why he's the number one pick.
So to me, for the Browns, we talk about moral victories. That was a moral loss to me.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Yes, without a doubt.
It's lost. It goes in the record book as a tie, but that's a loss. You're at home, and that's the division. Steelers are one of the teams that's favored to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And you had them in your building, and you were +5 in the turnover battle, and you tied that ball game. You have to find a way to win. Man, can you imagine the electricity in that locker room? I know it's game one. Can you imagine the electricity in that stadium as the fans are leaving? I know it's game one. But, Skip, you got to give them something.
Crazy.
Yeah. Tyrod definitely gave him something to talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's making it real easy.
Yeah.
Because you could have won that game, and nobody's talking about Baker Mayfield starting, Skip. You win this game, no matter how bad. If you win this game, that's on ice for another week.
I know.
Because you tied the game. Yeah. You tied it. You didn't lose it. You tied it. You're like, man, Baker might have won that thing.
I know. He wasn't the 4th pick in the draft. He was the first pick.
Yes.
He is the reigning Heisman Trophy winner.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, he threw 43 touchdown passes to 6 interceptions. I don't know.
You want him to start this week in New Orleans?
Be tough. It's probably wrong place, wrong time for anybody. I'm not sure I want Tom Brady to start this week.
Somebody get the buzz.
Absolutely, especially
since both of us picked him to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. They better bounce back. They better not go 0-2 at home.
Yeah, we need to bounce back.
It's a tough hole.
Marcus Lattimore, he needs to have a bounce back game.
Yeah, because that's
Deshaun and Vince.
And Evans went yard on him.
Mike Evans, they went crazy yesterday.
Okay, they went crazy because they thought this bearded old guy is starting a quarterback, and we got this, right? And you go out and just think you can show up, put on a show, and you got showed up at home, right?
You know how Fitzpatrick is, Skip. Mm-hmm. There was no expectation. He was expected to lose in New
Orleans. Has he not done this before?
Yes.
He has done this before.
But now, all of a sudden, they're like, oh, man, Tampa, they look good. They might be able to do something. Guess what happened? Remember with the Jets when he went 10-6 and he got that big money to come back?
He just roller coasted.
Yeah, exactly. Same thing with the Texans. Oh, Fitzpatrick going to hit him up. Okay. Expectations. Kills a lot of careers, Skip.
It does. Yep. But Ryan's made a good chunk of change.
Oh, yeah, fooled him.
And if he keep playing like that, he'll continue to make chunks of change. Checks keep rolling in.
Oh, Michael, thank you for being here.
No mercy.
Dez Bryant was very busy yesterday, but it was on Twitter instead of on a football field. Yes, he was busy tweeting during the Cowboys' loss, and someone pointed out that Dallas would have won the game if they had Dez and the recently cut kicker Dan Bailey, and Dez said, quote, real fact. Someone then asked Dez to come back to the Cowboys. Dez responded, nah, I'm okay. I'd rather go somewhere. I can showcase my skills for real. If I line up next to Gronk, Hogan, Edelman, I'm for sure getting a one-on-one matchup. Plus, I won't be getting criticized or controlled for expressing my love for the game. Hey, Washington, it's cool as well. I like how he threw that one in. Shannon, would Dez be a good fit in New England?
No. He's not going to be a good fit in New England. Skip, does Dez realize he got one-on-one coverage because they were trying to stop the run with Zeke? You got one-on-one. That's what Dax Reed was telling him to go to with the ball, to you with the single coverage.
Yep.
Everybody got single coverage because they got the eighth guy in the box. Mm-hmm. But because you're Dez Bryant, you're the Pro Bowl player. You're the former All-Pro. I got to go to Dez. Mm-hmm. No, he would not be a good fit in New England, Skip, because if you look at New England, those guys play multiple positions. And everybody talks about, even Tom Brady, talks about how hard it is to play in this offense. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady's been in this offense virtually, Skip, his entire career. He says it's hard. Mm-hmm. Everybody, you hear Amendola talk about it, you hear Edelman talk about it, you hear Gronk talk about it, every receiver talk about, man, you studying every single night. Dez is going to be an injury signing on a very bad team. If Dez thinks he's going to be able to go there and all of a sudden he didn't get a pass or things didn't go his way, that he can voice his frustration where he says, either showing his passion, only one guy gets to show passion on New England sideline. That's number 12. Have you ever seen anybody else throw their helmet?
No.
Have you ever seen anybody yell and scream at coaches on the sidelines, Skip Bayless? I've seen one guy in all the years that he's been in New England, and that's Tom Brady.
I haven't seen him throw his helmet.
No, I'm saying, but, you know, get in the face of a coach.
No.
So if Dez think, oh, I can show my passion and not get – nah, bro. Dez, you know what, Skip? He comes across as – he's like he's almost rooting for the Cowboys to lose. So I can say, nah, I told you. You can't blame me now. Nah, I ain't there. Stop it, Dez. For real?
For me, this was LOL when I saw these tweets because there is no way Bill Belichick wants Dez Bryant, and there's even less way that Tom Brady wants Dez Bryant. And by the way, yesterday he threw – Gronk caught seven, and Philip Dorsett looked pretty good yesterday. He caught seven balls, and you know what? Cordarrelle Patterson is a stud to me who's never been utilized as a wideout. Watch, as the year goes on, he gets more and more comfortable with Brady and vice versa. He's going to start catching balls, and guess what? He's 6'2", 228. That's even bigger than Dez is and was, right?
Yeah. Yes.
So all of a sudden you got that, and by the way, James White caught four balls, and Devlin, the fullback, caught four balls yesterday. Who throws the fullback four passes? Yeah. Tom Brady. That's how they do it, right? So there's no Edelman, no problem. So when I look at Dez, you know, the funny thing about it to me was at one point he tweets, I'm done talking about the Cowboys, blah, 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 blah. And then he just can't help himself. And there's an emoji, sarcastic emoji, like he's laughing at the Cowboys. And then he responds to some fan who says the Cowboys would have won Sunday with Dez and Dan Bailey, and you read it, you know, real fact, and he just can't stop it, and it goes on and on and on, and he's tweeting about, now I even know which routes they're going to run off the Dak's hand signals.
You were just there.
He left his heart in Dallas. And you know what's funny about all this? Dez Bryant is having more impact from his couch than he had on the football field, right? Am I right? He should become a professional tweeter because it's great. It's great theater.
Maybe Dez can help me understand this. Why didn't they win more games when you were there last year?
Help me out.
You were just there. Why didn't you win more games then? Yeah. Do you realize that when you have a dominant running back, and I played with one, I played with TD, you get one-on-one coverage because they're dropping that safety down to try and take away the run. So you got to beat one-on-one coverage. And Mike Shanahan would tell us every day, especially we play the Raiders, we play Kansas City, who are heavy man-to-man team. He said, guys, if you can't beat man-to-man coverage, you either coaching or selling cars.
Yep.
Well, John Elway says he's not hiring and my coaching staff is filled. Yep. So either you beat man coverage or you get out of the league.
Okay.
Where is Dez Bryant right now, Skip?
Couch.
Will McClay said... The tape said Dez couldn't consistently beat one-on-one coverage.
Yep.
Everybody, well, you don't like Dez. You got something against Dez. Nah, I just believe what my eyes tell me. I see better than I hear. I know what Dez telling me. Mm-hmm. I know what people in Dez's corner saying, but that ain't what I see.
Mm. So he did mention the Redskins, and that's a more realistic landing spot for him.
Okay.
But who had the second biggest surprising first game yesterday? The Redskins did, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not exactly Ryan Fitzpatrick, but to go to Arizona, I know it's Sam Bradford, and to win convincingly, Adrian Peterson had a great start.
When did somebody go arrest Sam Bradford for stealing?
Well, I don't know.
That dude been stealing since 2012.
He once got $50 million guaranteed as a first overall pick.
He's been stealing a long time, Skip.
Okay. I said before that draft, I saw every snap he played at the University of Oklahoma. I said, there's no way I'm taking him number one. And he's still starting.
Four teams. Yeah. He done stole from the Rams. Yeah. They tried to get him out of Philadelphia. Philly got the men. You know, there's a men in Philadelphia. They got a lot of money. They said, nah, you're not finna rob us. They get him up. They trade him to Minnesota.
Yes.
Minnesota, he steal from them. And now he goes to Arizona and steals some more money.
You know why? Because he's such a good guy. He does. The coaches love him.
That's the only
coach's dream.
The quarterback position. Yep. Is the only position in the NFL that you get paid on potential.
Mm-hmm.
Every other position will make you prove it before they compensate you.
Yep.
Sam Bradford, you watch him how you throw the ball? Yeah, but he'll fold like a banquet chair at the end of the night, Jimmy. Scary.
Well, let's say it one more time. Alex Smith is better than Kirk Cousins.
No, he's not. You saw First Cousins dealing? No. You saw him dealing on Saturday.
It's San Francisco?
Whoa, really? Now it's San Francisco. Huh. Everybody was hyped. That was a hot team.
By the way, did you see what the Vikings said about Jimmy G? He looked scared.
The thing was, Skip, hey, we didn't know what Jimmy G's ceiling was. Floor was because he hadn't lost. So look at Jimmy. Okay.
Well, Robert Kraft made the right decision to stick with Tom Brady.
Coach Belichick, Brady, best out of everybody. No
mercy. Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. We'll see you then. Facts. Sports. One of one.